Do a little bit of this. Hang on 1 second. Welcome all. It's the FSHD Society Radio Show, and this is our Hot Off the Press edition as we kind of dive into what's going on, latest, greatest, and what's happening here in the FSHD Society. And we welcome today June Kinoshita, who's going to talk to us about something I didn't know that was in the works. So you all maybe don't know either. So we're gonna touch on that. But first, let's welcome her now. Hey, June, how's it going?
Hi, good morning, Tim. Things are great.
Good, good. I'm glad things are good. I'm sure you're super busy as always. People know that you are a workaholic, I think, when it comes to this.
Well, okay. I'd say I'm passionate about what I do. So yeah. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like a privilege to be able to do what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is a great place to be for sure. Today, though, we're touching on one of the things that you're working on is true cost of FSHD survey. So I guess probably those that are hearing that might not know, what is it?
So this survey, the true cost of FSHD survey, is something that we've been working on for a number of months to ask our community the question of what does it actually cost to live with FSHD? So if you have health insurance, you know that you have to pay deductibles. You have a lot of things that are not reimbursed. So we start with that. Just what are the costs of that you pay over and above what someone who didn't have FSHD would be paying in order to get the healthcare you need to get, if you need special diet, if you are, doing special exercise, if you have, all those things, if it costs you more to just get to the doctor's appointment because you have to call a special ride or if your family member has to take time off from work in order to help you get there. There are just a zillion things that are hidden from our economic system, from, the systems that are in place to count dollars and cents. Like, for example, medical costs are partially well accounted for because there's, if it's paid through insurance, tick, tick, tick,
Right.
You can add those dollars up and you can get national statistics on that. But there's so many other costs that are not accounted for that families and individuals have to bear. And these matter. And they also extend to things like work. Did you have to cut back on your hours because of fatigue or pain? Did you have to limit your employment opportunities because of disability? Did you have to limit your educational opportunities? Did you have to go an extra mile to, we know, for example, that adapted vans, cars, cost a lot, up to close to $100,000. That's not often covered. So we just want to make sure that this survey captures a good part of those hidden costs. Tell you more, but I'll let you.
Well, no, that's I think a great starting point. And one thing that popped up and you said the word family in there too, as in, does this also maybe include within the survey if somebody within your family is affected? So if they're helping as some type of caregiver or someone that assists you to get to the appointments, et cetera, do those costs get included?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. We ask about, do you need someone to help you just do daily chores around the house? Do you need someone to help you with grooming, bathing? Do you need someone to help you to get out, to go shopping, go to the doctor, get to school? So we tried to think of all of those types of hidden costs, not just borne by the individual with FSHD, but family members, by friends. Do you have a friend you have to rely on to help you get to places and they need to take time off? Or, maybe they're, stay at home, they're not working a paying day job, but their labor is still valuable. We need to count that in. If someone spent 4 hours to help you every month to do something, we want to count that in.
It's so you formulated this survey, and this is all done through the FSHD Society, kind of a collaborative effort within there.
Yes. Well, I can let me take a step back because I think people might want to know why we're doing this. So we are, I mean, it's something we have long felt is really important to do. And the prospect of doing it was kind of daunting. It's a pretty complicated research project. And, but the reason it's become very urgent is we are probably within a few years of having a drug approved and put on the market for FSHD. And that opens up a whole new set of discussions in the government and in insurance companies. What is that treatment worth? What will the insurance, you know, reimburse you for the, these treatments? You know, and we don't want the value of those treatments to be undervalued economically, because, for example, maybe they're only looking at a small slice of the cost. Maybe they're only looking at health insurance reimbursement currently for FSHD patients, and they're just catching the top of the iceberg. They're not seeing all the other costs borne by family and individuals. So, so it's very important from a policy perspective to capture those costs, document them, and it's important to do it in a way that stands up to scrutiny, where the FDA will say, look at the study, look at our methods, how we went about it, how we analyzed, and say, yeah, this is a really solid study. We can rely on these numbers. So, so we did, we collaborated with the Muscular Dystrophy Association, which previously did a survey for kind of the broad neuromuscular population. And they invested a lot of effort in designing their survey and what we call validating, making sure that the questions are asked in a way and the responses are designed, you know, written in a way that people understand them accurately and respond accurately. Because, you know, you've probably gotten like poorly written surveys. You're going, I don't really know what they're asking. And these choices that don't really reflect my experience. And so it takes, it's actually a lot of work to get it right. And I'm sure it's not going to be perfect. These qualitative surveys are difficult to design. But we worked with MDA. Yeah. We also worked with the Every Life Foundation, which had another type of survey on the impact of rare disease. We kind of looked at them both, said, which ones do we think are the most relevant for FSHD? And then we had a patient focus group look them over and say, is there anything critical that we missed? And we they gave us wonderful input. We shared it with companies that are developing drugs, because they have their own teams working on similar kinds of research. And we said, does this look well-designed to you? Are we missing anything? Is there anything in this that's really important to you from standpoint for from a company that's, you know, trying to develop a drug for FSHD? So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of mind share that went into designing.
Yeah, it's not just you, June, that
no, I didn't just sit here kind of watching TV and putting this
there's some serious thought into it. Yeah. No, and I think that's what people want to, you know, would probably ask is, just like you said, you know, why are we doing this? What is it? Why are we doing it? And then, yeah, how did we formulate these were good, you know, quantifying questions to ask to get the results you want? What kind of results, I guess, I mean, I don't want to like, you know, skew people's responses, because it is what their response is, whatever it costs, whatever it does to them financially, et cetera. But what kind of participation are you looking for? And how are you going to get the word out to kind of let people know if they want to participate, how they can?
Yes. So we're hoping to get the same, at least the same kind of response we got to several other survey studies we did recently, like the Voice of the Patient. I think a lot of people remember that because we were, you got your weekly email, your Voice of the Patient. Yep. We got around between 600 and 700 people responding to that survey. And then there was one year ago that on sleep that Eloise Hoffman designed, that got around 700 people responding.
Wow.
And there was one on gastrointestinal and gastrourinary issues that also got around that same number. So we, you know, everyone who's listening out there who responded to these surveys, thank you. It really moves the ball. These are turning into medical publications, and then, you know, doctors will pay attention when it shows up in their journal. You got, you know, that this is a real issue in FSHD. So we hope that as many participate in this one, because that is a large number in a rare disease. By way of comparison, so this is the first study like this that's ever been done in the United States. There have been similar, maybe more limited scope studies done in Germany and the Netherlands over the past few years, and those might have had between 100 and 300 or 400 people responding. But it has to be done on a per country basis, because obviously our healthcare system, our economy is nothing like anyone else's, you know.
So you said that this kind of data would then be put out in medical publications for doctors to read. Is there hope within those publications, within that data? What is the hope that will come out of this survey? What do we want it to recognize or to point out? You talked about covering, you know, or understanding the costs, but then is that then to hopefully keep drug costs down?
That's just one. I mean, that's an immediate concern for us, because when these drugs get through their phase 3 trials, and if and when very soon, we hope some of them start to get on the market, we are looking ahead. Like, we want to make sure patients have access to it. You know, if you can develop the best drug in the world, but if your healthcare payer says, we're not going to pay for this,
right?
You know, that we will have failed. So, you know, because our ultimate goal is to improve the lives of people living with FSHD. So, you know, we're very focused drugs on the market by 2025, but that's, you know, we are definitely going beyond that. We got to make sure those drugs make it to the patients. And so these economic studies are really critical for that. And we're publishing, you know, it'll be in medical journals, but also in journals that are read by people in the insurance industry, in the payer and the government. You know, there's a whole other field that's new to me. So this is kind of, you know, kind of going on a limb, like I've never done this kind of thing before, but we have some really great advisors and, you know, we felt confident. I mean, we have, you know, between Jamshid and myself and our consultants, you know, we're like, we can figure this out.
So. Right. And that's amazing that you're kind of leaning into the area that you haven't gone into before, but despite it, right, you're figuring out navigating for us, so that when the treatments are available, it's something that hopefully we can afford. So we hope then that the drug companies and those that are reading about this or being educated about this, what our costs are in general, let alone a treatment on top of that. So are we hoping that this reaches those decision makers, so to speak?
Absolutely.
Understand then where they need to keep the costs. I mean, because inevitably, if there's a treatment available and we can't afford it, then we're not going to, you know, it's going to be a hard time buying it. So that means they're really not going to make, because they are making a profit, of course. That's why they're in business. So if it's too out of the spectrum to even afford, I mean, that's damaging to everybody. Or am I being too bird's eye view on that?
No, that's exactly the case. And that has happened in other countries that, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a very, you know, it's not a cut and dried issue at all. I mean, it's like, what value do you put from an economic standpoint on someone's life when they have a disability, when they don't have what they have, whether they have cancer or Alzheimer's or any number of other things. Yeah. It's a very contentious area. And if we have a really solid, well-designed study to, you know, support the case mm-hmm. for, you know, an appropriate level of reimbursement. And, you know, that's really important. There are other uses too, because we're going to get insight into the FSHD community that we haven't had before in terms of like, how are the different types of, you know, how are symptoms distributed? You know, what are the most common complaints that affect, you know, work or income and so on? When do they happen in your lifetime? I mean, you know, we know FSHD is incredibly diverse, so we need to be able to have some data behind, you know, here's this subpopulation that is affected earlier and progresses faster. Here's another one that's kind of in the middle that looks like this, and here's a, you know, and they should not all be treated exactly the same way, right? So there's a lot of other insight we're going to gain down the road that we hope will be used to improve people's lives. you know, social, you know, disability, you know, compensation, social services. You know, I think when you're dealing with something like this, it always, I'm sure it feels like it's never enough, you know, that,
yeah, right,
you know, government doesn't understand the reality of what, you know, your real costs are and so on. So we hope, you know, these sorts of things, we can join with other advocates to say, you know, we need this, you know, more, right, more of this. And, you know,
and this is what we're up against as a population. I love the idea though, of kind of having these, you know, all groups represented, equally throughout this survey, because yeah, the early onset, you know, group, especially, you know, they get it younger, what's that financial impact compared to others, and et cetera. So I think that's really a good value, especially for those that are listening and wondering, well, is this for me? Would I even want to participate? Would I be represented? When it comes to that, when you want people to participate, is FSHD Society using a little bit of the Connect conference in June for that?
Yes, we're going to be kind of publicly describing the study for the first time, except you're getting a special sneak preview on this show. But we will present what we're doing there and tell people how to sign up. We'll have a register to be part of the study kind of landing page ready by then.
Okay.
And then over, say, like a 2-week period or so, we want to try to recruit the, hopefully we're, you know, 600 or 700 of you out there who are willing to participate in the study. And then we'll send out those survey links to you.
Perfect.
And it's a bit of a commitment to do this survey, because it's not simple. We're trying to, you know, ask questions about many different dimensions in your life. It's tricky because we want to ask at the household level, because let's say you have to put in a ramp. Well, you don't put in a ramp for one person, you would put in a ramp for the whole house. And if you have more than one person in the family affected with FSHD, you all share that ramp, right? So you have to count the costs, some of those costs at the household level, but then we need to get insight into the individuals in terms of their work, their education, their, you know, health status. So it's sort of this
fascinating,
it's a bit of a complex design for the survey, and we'll try to explain that as well as we can. And we'll probably have a webinar to explain it some more and walk through some questions. But so I want to recognize ahead of time that it's a serious amount of, you know, serious commitment on the part of people participating in the survey to get through the questions. But we're asking you because it matters so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there any final thought that you want to add to it? You've teased the, what it is, when it roughly is going to start, and why we're doing it. Is there anything that we missed? We got it covered, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we covered it. Thank you, Tim. I guess all I can say is, you know, we are all in this together, and I can, you know, our little team here, you know, we put a huge amount of work in the survey, and if nobody answers, then it will be for naught. We can't do it without you. Yes. We can't do it without you. That is.
This is the truth. Yes, this is the truth. Well, thanks, June, for letting us know about this survey. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to participating. I hope others are as well. Let's exceed that 700, mark that we've had in the past. Let's pull that out of the water and give all the information we can to help our community. I think this is very similar to the voice of the patient, right? This is our voice.
Our voice. It's the next level up on the voice of the patient.
I love it. Thanks, June.
All right. Take care, Tim.
Thank you all for listening. This has been FSHD Society Radio Show, Hot Off the Press with June Kinoshita.
Thanks for everything, Tim.
You bet.